Hey, welcome to the Weights, Wellness, and Witchery podcast, the podcast that touches on everything wellness from the physical to the metaphysical. I'm your host, Grace Elizabeth. I'm a certified personal trainer and a wellness coach who specializes in making you feel awesome from the inside out. So if feeling awesome is something that you're interested in, I highly suggest you stick around because, as I mentioned before, that's kind of my thing. All right, let's do this.
Hey, you guys. I have such an awesome interview for you all today with my personal friend, Victoria LeBrun. And she is a dancer, choreographer, and just like all around cool fucking humid, which you're gonna find out throughout this episode. Like, she's the person who's just always doing some cool shit and being a freaking badass. And I really love her. We had a great conversation that goes like everywhere, and I hope you guys enjoy it because I'm definitely gonna have her back, possibly for something reoccurring. I don't know. But yeah, I just wanted to give you guys a little brief on what's coming up. But before we get into the interview, I do want to go ahead and read one of the 5-star reviews that we've received on this podcast. And so here it is. Shout out to CKGirl67. This is such an awesome review. I really appreciate it. It says, "Loving this discussion that expands the definition of wellness to focus on truly enjoying life in a spirit of acceptance and self-love, rather than trying to be better and or punishing yourself. So good. And super easy to listen to. Grace's down-to-earth energy makes it feel like you're chatting with your best friend while you listen and learn and love yourself. Looking forward to future episodes." Again, thank you so much, CKGirl67. I really love getting these reviews from you guys. It's like, just lights up my life. But also, it really helps to get this podcast boosted and get it out there. And the more people who listen, the more cool people we can have on the podcast, the more I can upgrade the sound for you all. And yeah, which I'm working on all of those things. So please, 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 if you have enjoyed this podcast, if you've gotten something from any of these episodes, take a second, pause right now, go to iTunes, leave a review, five stars if you love it, I guess. I mean, it can be less than 5 stars. Be truthful, that's fine. But leave a review, and I will read your reviews on the next episodes coming out. So again, thank you so much, you guys. Buckle up for this awesome interview, and I'll see you all later. Bye.
Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Weights, Wellness, and Witchery. I have another awesome interview for you guys today. We are talking with Victoria LeBrun, who is a dance instructor and also one of my personal friends and a complete badass human. Hello Victoria, how are you?
Hello, I am well. Thank you so much for having me. And how are you doing today, my dear friend?
I'm good. If anyone hears any like background sounds, that's my car running with the AC on because I'm hiding in my car because there's like a gaggle of children who have overtaken my house. So other than that, things are great.
Just the life.
Yeah, for sure. So how are you doing? How are you doing? Like, what's up today?
I am well. I got home from work about an hour or so ago. I did some stretches, did a little bit of handstand training, basically killing time until I got to hear your voice.
Aww. Yeah. Your handstands are insane, by the way, watching you do that. I'm like, wow. I have not been able to do a handstand for like 10 years. So I really much, like, I watch you do it, then you're like walking on your hands and you're doing all this crazy stuff and like push-ups, and I'm just like, wow, that's insane.
Thank you. And hey, it all started with me doing headstands up against a wall.
Yeah, I guess it's got to start somewhere, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So on that note, let's like, tell us like, what's your story, man? How'd you get into dancing? How'd you become an instructor? What was the journey like there? I mean, I met you. How old are you when I met you? You were like 16, 17.
Yeah. I was definitely in high school still.
So it's been really cool to kind of see your evolution of like discovering pole fitness and dancing, and then just watching you grow and like become a freaking badass at it. It's so freaking insane. Like, I love every time I see one of your Instagram videos pop up, I'm like, oh hell yeah, this is gonna be dope. I get so excited.
Thank you. And it is true, you really have yeah, you've definitely watched the evolution of who I am today. Yeah, you've been there for a long time. And I first got into it. So I was really young when I discovered that pole dancing existed as its own thing. Mm-hmm. My mom is a ballroom dancer, and she would take me along to her salsa classes at night because she didn't want to leave me home alone. And yeah, and you know, they were super used to me being there at the dance studio. So all the instructors, all the desk people, they were all really sweet to me. It was like a second home. And one day when my mom was in her salsa class, I wandered into the pole dancing room. And the instructor, she let me like sit in the back and watch. And I was probably about 12 years old when that happened. And I immediately fell in love watching these women. Oh, and also the instructor was pregnant, which was just like another awe factor for me. I was like, look at this badass.
Dude, watching pregnant, my pole instructor in San Diego got pregnant too, and watching her freaking dance pregnant, like, it's like, this woman is just freaking incredible in every way. But anyway, keep going.
Yes, exactly that. Exactly that. And I'm glad I did it so young, because honestly, if it had been now, you know, at age 24, and I was in school, and I had to choose between my pole classes or my school classes, my 24-year-old brain would be like, don't be dumb, like, just go to fucking school.
Yeah.
But my sweet, naive 18-year-old self made the objective dumb decision, and subjectively for my personal life, it was the best fucking decision I could have made. Yeah. I'm sorry, I cussed. I don't know if that's...
Oh, okay. Don't worry. We cuss here.
Great. Yeah. Fantastic. Okay, I paused so hard. I was like, wait.
I was being interviewed for a podcast like a couple weeks ago, and I said some cuss word, and I stopped, and I was like, am I allowed to say that?
Yeah. I'm like, are you not?
Even if you weren't, I'd be able to edit it out. But yeah, no worries, because my episodes get marked with explicit, so we're good.
Fantastic. That was when I was 2 months into being 18. I started taking my classes, and when I first started, I did excel at an unusually fast rate, which I attribute to two things. One, just how truly obsessed I was. I started going probably about a minimum of 8 hours a week I was training.
Mm-hmm.
When I as a beginner, like, I would go, I would go at least four times a week, and I would usually take more than one class on those days.
Right.
Because when I even did my first class, I didn't just sign up for the class. I just bought an unlimited membership.
You were like, I don't even need to test this out.
Yeah, I was like, I know, I've been wanting this. So yeah, I just dove in. So that definitely helped. And then also in diving in, I learned that my body is naturally inclined to athletics. Mm-hmm. And I do gain muscle at a slightly above average rate. So between my natural body composition and, between my natural body composition and my absolute obsession, I excelled at a very, at a pretty,
dude,
pretty wild rate.
You did for sure too. And like, when you watch, like, as like, someone who like, you know, watched you doing your cool tricks and stuff, and then it was like a few years later before I even took a pole class, and then like learning how hard it was just to like do anything, honestly. Yeah. It's like, holy shit. I'm like, she's so good. Tough. How did she do that so fast? It's hard. It's hard work. And so yeah, it's like, I've heard you say to other people, like, asking questions and stuff to like not compare themselves. And really nobody should, especially like on any journey, but like with pole fitness too, that's one of those things where it's like everybody is so different. And like for you, like, you know, you were putting in hours and hours and hours. And on top of that, you're just like magical. I think you were just born for it, you know? So you're just like, you just have that leg up and it's insane. And you're amazing.
So that was when I first, discovered pole dancing classes, and I was immediately enamored. And my mom, not understandably so, was like, well, we're not getting you that. So
she's like, literally anything else, please.
Yeah. Which is, you know, that's fair. I was 12. But that was when I promised myself that when I was a grown-up person with my own money, that I would absolutely be taking pole dancing classes. So I've had the vision for myself since age 12.
Love that.
It's a funny thing. And then 2 months after my 18th birthday is when I took my very first pole class. And I, once again, just like that time when I was 12, was absolutely enamored. I loved it, and I just kept going back. So much so that when I first started doing pole dancing classes, I was actually in school. And then I like eventually, unintentionally, I guess, dropped out. I guess that's the word.
it was the pole dancing just started taking up more and more time and just kind of squeezed out school.
Yes. There were classes on the schedule at the studio that I wanted to take that conflicted with my classes in school. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll have to miss school. That was the mentality.
Honestly,
I had.
Though, I like, because I was gonna say like priorities, but really though, I love that you did that. Honestly, because you were pursuing your passion, and that's dope. Like, because you like a lot of us would have been like, well, guess I can't do this. Guess I gotta just keep going to school, and I don't get to do what I love. So I think that's super dope.
Yeah, and the other thing that people don't necessarily realize going into it, not just that it's hard strength-wise, but that shit hurts.
Yes, dude, yes, it does.
Yeah, so you need not only dedication, but you need pain tolerance.
Absolutely, so like, so many bruises,
Right, yeah, totally. So I was probably about a year into being a student when I first got my opportunities to like teach substitute classes here and there. And then from there, I got another teaching gig, got another studio down south. And then a couple years into my pole journey, I actually moved to Los Angeles for an internship at a pole studio. And funny enough, that internship did totally end up being like an absolute bogus scam.
Oh, that sucks.
It does suck. But I realized this now years later that if I could go back and do it all again, I would not change the damn thing. It was shitty what the studio owner and studio manager at the time did.
Mm-hmm.
But I really did still grow so much as a dancer there, which I honestly should like, thankfully I'm someone that I was able to learn a lot just by sitting at that desk and watching the instructors and becoming friends with the right people and like getting the connections and the networking, that and just simply the lesson learned of like not everyone.
That was just a life lesson right there.
That was where I truly learned like don't do shit for free. Don't work for free.
Where is it supposed to be like you work there and then they train you and they just didn't train you or what?
Yeah, you're supposed to, right. We're supposed to they called us protégés. It was the protégé program. Okay. And we were supposed to work the front desk. And in exchange, we got a free membership. So, like, classes were free.
Right.
And we were supposed to get private lessons from three instructors of our choice. But it turned out, you know, so one, in the very beginning, when we did our desk shift, once we got everyone checked in the class and did our job, if there was space in the class, we were allowed to jump in to that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then they changed it a couple months in that you can only take a class when you're not working.
Okay.
And here's the thing. When you're working a free desk job, you also need to work a real job to survive in mm-hmm. Hollywood.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So between working the desk job and a real job, when you're not allowed to take classes during your desk shifts, you don't have time to take classes.
Yeah.
That's just... So that's how that happened. And then also with the private lessons, yeah, that was also just a total sham. Turns out half the instructors didn't even know that was promised.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were like, no, thanks.
Yeah, totally. Not to mention the person she had, the owner had running the studio at the time was just this horribly unkind person. She drove a lot of people pretty crazy there. So like one time I accidentally like broke our mop because I was scrubbing and by the way, it's because I was scrubbing really hard at a heel mark on the ground.
You were like, I'm gonna get this out. You were just working so hard.
Literally.
So furiously.
And I underestimated my Hulk strength and I accidentally broke it. And when she sees this, she like goes off on me, calls me a dumbass. Like
what?
No, yeah. Like,
oh my god.
All in all, it just could not have been more failed on the studio owner and studio manager's part. But thanks to me being who I am, I was still able to get things out of that.
I love that. I really love hearing that because I feel like I'm a similar way too, where I'm like, well, that was fucking shit, but I guess I learned something.
Right.
So I always love hearing that other people can get look back and be like, well, I learned.
Yeah,
I learned a lesson.
I never again did any work for free, and that's a good lesson to learn.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's an important life lesson right there.
Yeah. Yep, and then from there I moved to the Bay Area from Los Angeles, and the Bay Area is where I feel that I truly blossomed as an instructor. I had my most consistent and, I'll be straight up honest, favorite teaching gig ever were my Sundays at Atomic Allure Studio in Oakland, California. That place was just so outstanding. One, it's the only pole studio that made itself accessible to everyone. Mm. Our owner did so much work to make sure the classes stayed affordable.
That's awesome.
Yes, classes are very frequently, like a single class should be $20 or $25. Which comparatively, I've never seen another class that cheap in the pole dancing world. And she did the same with memberships, and she cared. She cared about the community because honestly, in a lot of ways, pole does become accidentally a sport for the privileged. The shoes are expensive. The activewear is expensive. It's the classes are expensive. It is
super expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. And Donna Jane Walton of Atomic Allure in Oakland always kept non-gentrified Oakland in her heart. And she made sure the community was there to serve everyone. She made sure it was an open space to all, to everyone, to any, every color, queer, everybody's shape. And she had instructors of every race, every sexual identity, and every body type. Everything was always all inclusive. It was beautiful,
that.
And I've yet to see a studio match that true feeling of all inclusiveness.
That's so dope. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get in my car and drive to Oakland.
No,
I'm
literally,
go take
please,
a class.
Please. Yeah, it is by far my favorite pole studio I have worked at. The community
that's so awesome.
And that's the other thing. I've loved every studio I've worked at. So it's saying a lot to even have a favorite. I truly have, other than the one in LA, obviously.
Right.
But
right,
you know,
yeah.
Every studio I've worked at that has paid me, I really, really love. I do. I love so much. So it really does say a lot that Atomic Allure is still able to stand out.
That's awesome. That's a pretty great shout out for them too. Anyone in the Oakland area who's looking to do any pole fitness classes, check them out.
Get on down.
Get on down.
Yes. And then when COVID hit, I entered a new part of my pole journey, which it's the part that I'm still currently in, which is accepting that there is no plant in nature that blooms year round. You have to have moments of stagnance. They will happen, and they do not discount your progress. And that, it's funny, it's made me review my very, very, very first pole class ever back at age 18. My pole instructor, before we even began class, she went over, she like talked with us and explained that if you want to be a good pole dancer, you have to learn to enjoy the process, every part of it. And that has been that's been my most recent spot on the pole journey. I took a long break. I lost strength. I lost pain tolerance and skin grip. I lost plenty, and I have been in an overall very lovely journey of understanding that none of that will make me less of the dancer that I am.
I love
And
that.
it's
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, I feel like that statement alone, like just having seasons of, being stagnant or not, improving or, not blooming, as you put it. I feel like especially since like the world came to such a halt, like everyone to some extent was thrown into that in whatever they were doing, and we all had to learn like. You have to just like at sometimes you can't do anything. Like you have to just wait
No,
and you have to just appreciate what you do have and where you're at and like just live in that for a while. And then it'll be a season again. It'll be time to bloom. So, and that's been hard for all of us, I'm sure, but I can definitely relate in the sense that like I was like right before COVID hit, I was literally in the gym every single day. I was so on top of it. And then of course all the gyms shut down and I was like, what is my life? And during that time, I had to like reevaluate so much shit and like relearn like I had to like, I started running. I don't even like running. I hate running, but I was like, I gotta do something. So I started running and like getting outside and taking walks and all these other things that were like now, like learning that I was doing things that were just like for my mental health or for my spiritual health, as opposed to just like, I need to get ripped right now. And kind of replace that with these other things to fill the gap and realize how important those things were as well. It was so beneficial during that period. So I feel like you talking about that and just like everyone learning that lesson in general is just like so beneficial for life.
Yeah, it's an important lesson, and it also just made me, yeah, and it also made me realize that, I can't, it's not fair. Like, of course, your talents and the things you love add to who you are as a person, but it made me have to accept that when I don't have those things, it doesn't take away. It can only add. The presence can add, but the absence cannot take away. And that was a cool thing to learn also.
That is super awesome. So how were you like, I think I guess for a certain amount of time, obviously you couldn't teach because the studios were closed. I don't know, did you have like a pole in your house? Were you practicing or like how were you like finding ways to kind of fill that void in the times where you weren't able to dance as much as you would like.
So, yes, because when it first happened, I did not have a home pole at the time, and it took months to get one because they were back ordered. Everyone
Of
and their
course.
mama was ordering home poles because pole dancers are a bunch of little addicts. The absolute truth is, when it first happened, I didn't handle it. It was not good. It was not good. Because I didn't have to work or anything. So the complete and honest truth is probably like the first month or two, I was just like waking up, and then by like 11 a.m., I was like, I guess it's time for mimosas.
That was really like the culture of the lockdown to begin with anyway, so I don't blame you.
Yeah, dude, and I got crazy with it. I started making like mimosas of anything. I made a beet juice mimosa once.
I think I remember seeing that on Instagram.
Dude, no, it was nasty. Yeah. I won't lie to you. Yeah, but thankfully, you know, I just listened to my body, and eventually, because even though in my mind I was like, man, I can't do nothing. Right. Eventually my body was like, hey, I don't feel good.
Like, no more beet juice mimosas, please.
Yeah. The body was like, yo, I'll take some water, maybe a veggie if you have time.
You were like, beets are veggies.
Yeah, exactly. You get it. But what I did end up doing was I was like, all right, like, no, you actually still need to care about yourself and your body. So let's do this.
Yep.
Yeah. So I got me a pair of dumbbells. I bought a little app with an at-home workout program. And that is what I started.
Honestly, I'm surprised you were able to find dumbbells. I had the hardest time getting any home workout equipment. Yeah.
Yeah. I got really lucky. And you know what's funny? I don't know why. I have like no memory in the entire world of where I got my dumbbells from.
It was actually just like you like stepped into some like extra like realm somehow, and just like only place there were dumbbells available, you were just escorted into like another parallel universe where they still
for
had
real.
They were, like, and then they wiped your memory clean after that. They were just like, here you go.
I swear to God, that is Grace. Was it you? Did you do it?
It was me, I would have done it for myself. And I still only have one 15-pound dumbbell and then like a 10-pound kettlebell. Actually, I think I have two 10-pound dumbbells and like one 15 or like one 20-pound dumbbell and then the kettlebell. But trying to like write and create a home workout program during COVID when there was no home workout equipment available was quite a task.
That's insane. So yeah, I did get lucky. No memory of how, but I got lucky and found a pair of dumbbells. and I just started doing at-home workouts. And then, funny enough, even when I first got my pole, it wasn't the same. I didn't have the same tall ceilings I was used to. I didn't have the same space, you know. I was always like kicking walls and breaking lamps with my heels. But I just focused on the future. I just focused on keeping myself healthy and active in the meantime. And now I've moved since then. I have like an extra foot on my pole, which doesn't sound like much, but it feels like much.
Do you have enough room? Are all the lamps out of the way?
Yes, I don't have a lamp at all. There's an overhead
light.
That's
smart. That's smart.
Yeah. Lamps are risky business around these parts. It's been an interesting journey for sure, but it is just, I've kind of appreciated being pushed. I didn't at first, but now that I'm coming to the end and returning to a little bit of normalcy, I'm able to look back and reflect and see the ways that, you know, maybe I didn't grow as a dancer this year, but I sure as hell grew as a person.
Love that. You've just been like, this whole conversation, you're like, and something shitty happened, and then I looked back and it was awesome. And I love that. I really love that.
No, it's been, and you know, and even that, I think maybe that's something that I got throughout this COVID journey. I was like, well, I'm not gonna sit here and be depressed all the time. Like, sure, I'm gonna give myself my days, don't get me wrong. But The only way to move forward is to find what you can learn. And there's almost always something you can learn.
Absolutely. Fuck yeah, dude. That's awesome. So where are you at now? Are you, now that things are starting to open up again, are you gonna be teaching somewhere, or what are your plans?
So, oh, so happy you asked because I love talking about my return.
Whoop. Don't
Yes.
call it a comeback.
You know it. It never left. So, yes, next month I will start teaching choreography classes once again, which are my favorite classes to teach. I'll be teaching at the Vertitude in Santa Rosa. Which the owner of the Vertitude is like an absolute OG in the pole world, total
Love
icon.
that.
Yes, Sergio Luis. She owned a Vertitude studio down in Los Angeles. And then the Santa Rosa location is the secondary location. This is Sergio's home, though. She is from Santa Rosa. And I actually met her for the first time in person recently. Once COVID restrictions were lifting, I was like, hey, I bet that studio is going to open back up. And I just like emailed her and like sent her my instructing resume. And I was like, hey, do you need me? Because I want you.
I just had a feeling that you want to hire me. I don't know.
I was like, hey, I'm going to just send this your way. You do as you will with the info. So yeah. And then she got back to me really quickly. We set up a date to meet. We had a great conversation, and she basically just shared, how we've both been going through the same thing, both returning back to our world of dance. And I'm so happy to be with her on the journey of rebuilding her studio. That's also a really exciting thing. I do miss the community that comes with the pole studio. And to have the opportunity to help build that community back up is just such an honor. So yeah, that'll be next month doing those classes. And yeah, I could not be more excited. I really, really miss teaching choreography. It's my whole heart.
That's so awesome. I'm so excited for you.
Thank
And
you.
I hope that we'll be seeing some choreography clips on your Instagram, because
Oh yeah.
those are like one of my favorite things to see on Instagram. So,
Thank you.
because there's a lot of shitty things on Instagram, but that's one of the awesome things that are on
It's true. Them
Instagram.
shitty things are out there.
So many. What so oh, I feel like I have more questions for you about this. What would you say like has been the like highlights of your career or your pole dancing journey?
I do have a true like probably number one highlight in my heart, which are the multiple times I've gotten to dance on stage with Snoop Dogg.
Oh yeah. Oh my God, I forgot for a second. I really don't ever forget about that because it's so fucking epic. I should have just come right out the gate with that question. Tell us, let's talk about that, because that's so
Dude,
freaking cool.
the first time it happened, the first time I got a call, it was funny. Like someone like messaged me on Instagram. They were like, hey, to like check your request, so and so's trying to get a hold of you. And I looked, and it was like this pole dancer I'd not met before, but she was like, hey, there's a show happening this day, Snoop Dogg, I need dancers, are you in? I'm like, well, are you in? Yeah, I'm in. and it was like a few hours away too, in some place called, all right, it's either called Tuolumne or Tuolumne, and
Okay, I've never heard of that before.
that checks out. I had never heard of it. It's some random place out in God knows where, but yeah. So I basically I called my work and I was like, hey guys, can someone cover me this day? I'm not gonna be there whether someone can cover me or not.
Yeah,
So
either way, I'm not showing up,
I was
so
like, I will
figure
be there. Yeah.
it
Yeah, but no, I did have really awesome supportive coworkers, so they were more than happy to make it happen for me, and that was awesome of them. And yeah, so I got to go out and be on stage with Snoop Dogg. And the thing is, when that happened, I remember thinking like, holy shit, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. And then it happened like three or four more times, and and that was the crazy part. So I remember that first time I left that night and I was like, wow, what an amazing thing. I didn't even have like the slightest glint of a thought of maybe getting to do that again. And it's like, not only did I get to do it again, but the following times I got like closer and closer with the crew.
Yeah.
So yeah. And like, and by the, and out of the Snoop Dogg shows I did, the best one, my personal favorite was the Fillmore in San Francisco. That was an amazing show. One, the backstage was such tight, close quarters. So after the show, we didn't just like get, because I had gotten to like smoke a little bit with Snoop before that. You know,
you were like him. Bumping elbows here and there.
Yes. No, this time we were all hanging out. I watched Snoop get drunk and sign his name on the Fillmore wall with all the artists before him.
So yeah, that's so sick.
I got a little Snapchat video of him singing along to some. Like, I got to hang out with Snoop and Warren G. Warren G was there that night.
Oh shit.
And no, that was that, and that it was, and there's usually four dancers total. And that night it was me and one other girl, and that was also cool because I actually got to, like, really just like talk and connect with the other dancer. When it's four girls, you're kind of just like, you're trying to coordinate like how you're doing, and it's still magical either way. But it was really cool to also just get to have like an intimate time with another dancer, and you know, just hang out with her one on one. That was so nice. I really enjoyed the girl I danced with that night. But yeah, I gotta say, out of everything, yeah, my time on stage with Snoop Dogg is the highlight.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't believe that, like, I totally blinked on that, because I remember the first time, and then I remember it happening again. But like the first time I was like, what the fuck? Like,
dude, same.
It was like a what the fuck moment, but then it was like, out of everybody that I know, like, yes, of course it was gonna be you dancing on stage with Snoop Dogg, but like, what the fuck? So
it's so sick, crazy.
Like the coolest shit. So freaking cool. Yeah. I can't imagine, like, what an experience, and how crazy that you did it more than one time. Because it truly was like a once in a lifetime thing, but it was like four times, so that's insane.
Right.
That's so cool, dude. Yeah, that's awesome. So I want to think, like, how do you feel? I mean, I feel like we've already, like, I had this question, but I feel like we already kind of talked about all these things, but like, how do you feel that, like, you're just like coming across pole dancing and pole fitness and just choreography and all that, and like developing in it, like, how do you feel? Like, which ways has it changed you as a person, or like impacted you as a human, or directed your life in any way? And like, if you imagine your life without that, like, what are like the differences or the contrasts that you think would be different if you hadn't gotten into this?
Well, one big thing is that I've always, 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 you know, I truly believe that I think there's some people in this world that are just simply born with more sensual energy.
Mm-hmm.
I've always loved sensuality, sexiness, like eroticism. I've always loved it. Like, mm-hmm. even, you know, and even when I was like kind of young, and I kind of was into it quicker than the rest of my friends. Like, I remember the mm-hmm. first time I was like interested in, like, you know, doing things with boys. My friends were like, "What? Why?" Like, I was always a little bit more interested in that genre. And I don't know that I would have actually accepted that about myself without becoming a pole dancer. That's a big, because that's always been in me. It just truly always has. I've always loved it. But it was something that, you know, naturally, just being, you know, a woman on this planet, you just, all you know is that that's not okay, and you're supposed to be ashamed of that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's like, that is so big and so important. Myself, like, I feel very similarly. Like, I can relate to that a lot, and especially on top of that, like, being raised Christian, like, doubled down on all
me
of that
too.
Shit.
Right.
So I can so relate, because I had so many, like, just so much guilt around just interest in any of that, or just like wanting to be hot or sexy, or like any kind of sensuality, any kind of like anything, you know?
Right.
And I think, and this goes for like pretty much all women, no matter really how you were raised, is that because society itself is telling you, like, yeah, as a woman, you're not supposed to like that. You're not supposed to act like that. You're not supposed to be like that. You're not supposed to put it out there like that. All these things. And I think that embracing that is such a powerful thing. And yeah. And like you said, like, that would be a part of you that you, like, let's say you could never accept that, like, that would change your life for sure. Like, you would be continuing to hold on to that guilt or shame or trying to be something that you're not without having like this outlet to fully embrace that. So I think that that's like super amazing, and I'm so glad that that was like an avenue that you were able to like go down, that was presented to you, like, to help you embrace who you are and like realize that that's totally an okay, normal thing, and like, you're a badass.
Right, and to see that you're not alone.
Yeah, like, exactly.
And adding on to that, the way it truly changed my life is, if I had never taken pole dancing classes, I never would have had the confidence to try stripping. So I was a stripper I don't consider myself retired, because I'm probably going to end up doing a couple weekends or something. Like, I don't know. I don't have any plans right now to do it again, but I will not count myself as retired just yet.
You're like, I'm still in the game. I'm just not in the game right now.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so I did spend years as a stripper. It was my main source of income. And
so I could ask you a million questions about that, but getting into that from like, because pole dancing, like pole fitness was kind of your segue into that, right?
It was. And so here's the funny thing. It's because I thought that I kind of did not understand that being a good stripper has nothing to do with being a good pole dancer. Common misconception.
it's an entirely separate set of skills is what you're saying. Yeah,
it absolutely is. If there's anyone out there listening to this who's like, I'm a good pole dancer, that means I'd be a good stripper. No. Stripping is a new beast. It is a new beast, and pole dancing is the easiest fucking part of it. So I'm gonna tell you that right now. Due to my more erotic nature, stripping was always something that interested me, which it's supposed to be the job you're supposed to keep, you know, anything but that. Don't end up as a stripper.
Right. Like the, and well, if all else fails, I'll just be a stripper.
Right.
Yeah, but right.
Not me. No. That shit interested me. And I was excited to be good enough at pole dancing to go do it. So I got good at pole dancing, and once I felt comfortable in my skills, I went and auditioned at a strip club. My very first one was Spearmint Rhino downtown LA. I learned really quick, oh, this is not what it is in the movies. You don't go on stage and everyone just throws all of the money at you and that's how you make your money.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a sales job. You gotta hustle. You gotta So kind of segueing to how pole dancing changed my life, pole dancing gave me the confidence to be a stripper. Stripping changed my life in the best way possible. In so many ways, but maybe the biggest way is the way it taught me to value my time. Because once you know that there's people in this world that are willing to spend a grand for 30 minutes alone with you.
Yeah.
It changes the way you value your.
You're like, hell fucking no. Will I ever work a front desk for free?
Right. No, for real. And, you know, and of course there's going to be shitty customers and shitty days, you know, just like literally any job in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But that job, after that job, that's when I realized, I was like, okay, like, yes, I never realized how valuable my time was before I spent time as a stripper. And it also, I never realized just how invaluable the opinions of others are.
Okay. Gee, I'm, yeah, obviously, you've got a lot of opinions of others, I'm sure, thrown at you. I don't know how you wouldn't, right? That's not really something you can avoid in that line of work.
I got opinions on stack.
Got opinions on opinions on opinions. Yeah, so let's, like, how did you navigate that? And was that, like, hard? Did it get easier? Because you were pretty, like, you were pretty upfront and kind of out there, you know? You weren't really, like, underground, not talking about it. You were like, this is what I do, like, for
sure. I only tried to, like, hide it from my family. I did not hide it from the general public or friends. And truly, I just reminded myself that anything that anyone had to say, just, I don't know, like, they could think all they want and I'ma still make their entire paycheck in a day. Like, you know, and here's the other thing. I'll be real. There's totally days in the show where you go home with fucking nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely happens. It happens all the time. It's not even uncommon. Like, that shit just happens. Mm-hmm. But then there's a day where you make rent.
Yeah.
Like, it's a true up and down. And truly, actually, that is what made me, I'm, like, not necessarily a great stripper, like, to be real. Like, you gotta handle the days that you take home nothing. And I didn't handle those very well. I'll be very honest. Those days are so, so hard for me. And I will say it did help that throughout the whole time I got to go home to a loving partner.
He's, like, the coolest person ever besides you. Like second to you. So, of
big
course.
Fan.
Big fan. Five stars. Two thumbs up.
And you know what? And I gotta give him a shout out, too, because when his, you know, because he would have friends ask him, like, oh, like, how do you feel? How do you feel about your girl doing that? And he was like, oh, well, it's actually her job.
I don't feel anything about it.
No, that was very much his mentality. They'd be like, yeah, when they're like, how do you feel? They're like, it's what she does for work. I feel how she feels. I don't know. Like,
it's like, why don't you ask her how she feels about what I do for work? I don't know. Like
despite knowing that people would ask that, he would always respond in a way that was like, what a weird thing for you to ask. And I loved that.
I love that too. That's perfect.
Yeah, because it is a weird thing to ask, but people think it's normal.
Right. Well, it's because it's like, man, we could go on for hours. Why people think that's normal?
That's a whole new.
Yeah.
Catch me next week on.
Exactly. We're gonna have to make this a series, because. Yeah. I mean, fucking the way that people look at sex work, and not everyone, but, like, you know, the majority of everyone in this country, that's for sure. And, like, the way that they, like, just, like, mentally, like, make those things okay. Like, you know, it's like you wouldn't be like, go up to your girlfriend and be like, oh, so how do you feel about your husband being a construction worker? He could fall off and die at any minute, you know, get shot with a nail gun or something. Like that's fucking dangerous, which is, like, one of the things that people might say about sex work is, oh, it's dangerous or something like that. And it's like, there's so many jobs that are dangerous, and there's so many jobs that are, like, yeah, it's like every job, you're selling your time and you're selling your body to some extent. Right. So, like, the fact that we get so fucking weird about sex work is insane. But
yeah, like, not only are there so many dangerous jobs, but stripping is the only job that's only dangerous because of people's mindsets.
That is so true. It's so fucking true.
The other ones are just dangerous. You can't think differently and it becomes
dangerous. There's no way to get around that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the one job that is dangerous because of misogyny.
Yeah, dude. That's fucked. It's so fucked.
Yeah, but it did a lot of good for me. You know, you just you know, you get thick skin also, because, you know, stripping is so, the hottest stripper in the world faces so much fucking rejection in a night.
Yeah.
It's the name of the game, you know, and it just helps you see things differently. You really learn how, like, there's someone for everyone, which, as simple as that sounds, it's, like, a powerful thing to learn. You have to remember that just because you're not someone's cup of tea doesn't mean you're not someone else's shot of whiskey, you know?
Totally. And either way, like, it doesn't matter. And that's probably something that
Right.
You learned as well, right? Like at the end of the day, right, you go home and then you're still who you are and you're still a fucking badass, even if nobody else realized that. But
totally. So, that is the biggest part. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And just knowing, right, their opinions can't change me unless I let them. Unless
I let it, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. So freaking cool. Man, now I'm like, okay, you're gonna be back on. We're gonna make this into like a thing, and we're gonna fucking unload all this shit. Cause I feel like there's so much to talk about when it comes to that stuff. And like, I don't have a ton of obviously I wasn't a stripper, but I've done, you know, like alternative modeling, and I did the cam girl stuff for a while, right. So I've had a lot of experiences like that too, especially those like rejection days or the days where you don't make any money, and everyone's like that whole thing of like, well, if this job doesn't work out, I'll just be a stripper, or I'll just be a cam model, I'll get an OnlyFans. And it's like, bro, it is not as easy as you think it is. Like, it's not just like, oh, here's a picture of my tits and now I'm gonna be able to pay my rent. Like, nah,
you don't
it's
think
like
everyone would be doing it if it was that easy.
Exactly. Although I feel like everyone is doing OnlyFans now, but
I do agree. But I also feel like out of those people, I think a lot of them are gonna get a couple months in, realize sex work is work,
yep,
and drop out. Yep. I do think that's gonna happen.
Yep, I agree. I completely agree. Okay, well, if you're down to come back for more episodes, I honestly think we should like pick some topics and like fucking do it. Do the damn thing.
That. Okay. I would love that.
That's freaking awesome. I'm like super glad that like we were able to talk about like your whole story today. That was so dope. And I learned some things about you that I didn't know before. So that's cool.
Love that. Oh, I'm so glad I got to speak my truth on this wild, whimsical journey I've been on. I am so honored to be here with you on your fantastic podcast.
Dude, I'm so glad that, like, our paths crossed when they did so long
ago.
And
so uniquely.
Insane. Yeah, and it's so insane how different people, like, how far we have come as people since that time. But, like, yeah. I feel like we've only gotten closer and only become, like, you know, like more important to have in each other's lives. I don't know if that makes sense, but, like,
I agree.
Yeah, like,
and you know what? I just want to say for the listeners, I met Grace. I was dating someone who's older brother was dating Grace's best friend,
and we all lived in an apartment together. Not you guys,
yes,
but
yes. The older brother and Grace best they lived in so that is
how you came to a party at my house and it was like, why are there 16-year-olds at our party?
That's true. Yeah, that is fun. And I actually even remember thinking to myself, I was like, they don't know me, they don't want these high schoolers at their home. And that makes sense. Yeah,
honestly, though, it was chill though, because you were chill, you guys are chill, everything was fine. And then
and then
somehow we like, you know, reconnected again, and then you lived at my house, remember that? And then
yep,
we were roommates
the
and yep good times. Honestly, I think about that place a lot.
Me too, dude. Me
there
too.
Was some good times, there were some bad times, but there were some really good times too.
Correct. That's life.
Yeah. Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, so well, we're two things. We're definitely gonna hang out like IRL soon. Because before I move, we need to do that.
Agreed.
And the other thing is that I'm going to like come up with a list of topics, and you can come up with some too, and then we'll figure out like a day to like do this again and like really get into some shit.
I would really love that. That'd be fantastic.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And I do you have a website, an Instagram, somewhere where people can connect with you, or they can come say what's up, see what a badass dancer you are, maybe take some classes. I don't know. Tell the world where to find you.
Absolutely. You can find me on Instagram. My at is Victoria Labrin. So it's going to be Victoria with an extra A, and then my last name, Labrin, Lebrun. And if you are ever in the Santa Rosa or surrounding areas and you would like to take a class, you can go ahead and click the link in my bio, and that will bring you to the sign up page.
Perfect. All right. Well, Victoria Lebrun. Today. I'm so stoked to be able to talk to you. It's been so too freaking long. And thanks for this badass episode, and thank you for being so open and just like so forthcoming and so vulnerable with your whole story. And I cannot wait to have you back on here again.
Well, thank you for facilitating the safe space, and I greatly look forward to being back.
Okay. Great. Well, have an awesome day. What day is it? Thursday. Have an awesome day. Have an awesome weekend. Get through Friday, job, life, and then go have yourself a beet juice mimosa.
You know I fucking will. I'll do it.